yeah. on.
Oh, this is so exciting.
Eva?
Yes?
I can't thank you enough for being here.
Oh.
And we're here in Vancouver. We're shooting the movie Overboard.
Yes.
You're my boss.
I'm your best friend also. I'm your bossy best friend.
Important. But you still can't save me from my predicament. Sim has some really, before you got here, he's running around in a panicked state. No, do you need to plug the thing in?
No, it's fine.
Thing?
You were talking about me. Go ahead.
Oh, God. Sim was telling me that when you guys made Lower Learning, a movie, 10 years ago,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, 2007.
That how he was singing, he's been singing your praises.
Since then.
Yes.
I have been. Since then, I don't think I've ever worked with anyone more professional than you. I will have to give you a compliment before
we
start.
I'm not that professional. Yeah.
What did I do?
She, it was a lower budget movie. There was no reason for Eva to be there. But she liked the script, and your agent, I don't know if he's still your agent, Jason Heyman.
Heyman still your agent?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Heyman was my agent before the mass exodus.
Yes.
And I was very offended he didn't take me with him. I was like, wait. He took everybody else with him? No.
We got the funding pulled from us, actually, a week before production because we lost our lead actress at the time. And so,
Ooh. Oh,
I shouldn't say it here on the air, but I'll tell you after.
Just sign language it.
Yes, I'll write it down.
Yeah.
So once we lost her, the movie, we were in pre-production and they just pulled the plug. So we had to actually go in and tell everyone, guys, I know we've been working on this for a couple of months now, but time to pack it in. We don't have funding. It's not going to work now. Mm-hmm. And so everyone had to go home. The director, the other producer, Matt, who you also know, we went and got drunk at a hotel bar down the street in Burbank where mm-hmm. our production offices were. And then we just said, fuck it. We're making this movie. We're going to figure out a way to make this movie. We got on the phone to Heyman mm-hmm. and I said, Jason, I need a lifeline here. We need someone. Who do you have that's available? And he said, well, Eva Longoria is getting off of Desperate Housewives. She has a small little window here to mm-hmm. shoot in LA. Do you think you can make it work if she likes the script? I said, oh my God. The next day,
that
he
is,
said, yes.
Yeah. You
he
are
said, yes,
a huge
the movie
coup.
Was back on.
I would be like,
the movie was back on because of you. So I thank you for that.
Oh my God, I never knew that story.
Yeah.
Should have gotten more money.
Yeah, no. We didn't pay you very much.
No,
but,
you know what? I love Jason. Jason was a friend of mine.
Jason Biggs and Ed Helms was in it as well. And so was
I know.
And Rob Corddry, Monica Potter. It was
no, and the other guy married to Allie.
Hayes MacArthur.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's in it.
Allie Larder, right?
Yes. By the way, that DP did a pilot I just did. And he was like, I was your DP on Lower Learning. I was like, oh my God. That was like
David
guerrilla
Jones.
Filmmaking.
Eva?
It really was.
Yes, Anna.
Oh, wait. Well, you were about to get to the compliment part.
Well, okay, she was so professional. I mean, I think the thing about.
You know what you told me?
What?
You were like, sorry, I don't want to rob you of the
no, don't.
Compliment
you can say.
Story.
No, I just remember there was a day on set where you brought in a coffee truck for the entire crew.
Oh, that sounds like
me. It was
like
so sweet. No one does that.
People
the
should
crew
do that.
Was so
I don't
I was
that.
Mostly selfish. I just wanted coffee. And I was like, oh, did you guys want some? We're working late and I don't feel like going to Starbucks. I'm going to bring my own coffee truck. Yeah, and then I just kind of offered it
this
to the crew.
This is why I love you. I loved you from the second I saw you. From the second I knew that you were going to be a part of our movie, I was like, I just want to grab her ass. And I hope that she's okay with it.
I love my ass grabbed. No, I've been in love with Anna Faris forever.
Oh,
I was saying one of my favorite movies to quote is Just Friends. I love House Bunny. Everything.
Oh my God, you're so kind.
Everything. I was just watching House Bunny the other day.
You were?
Yes. And you look much younger now. Isn't that weird? Like when I saw
really?
You, I was like, oh my God, Benjamin Button.
Go
what
on.
Happened? Yes, stop.
It's this wonderful
stop.
Miracle of healthy living that I've been subscribing to.
Yeah. I healthy live too.
But Eva, thank you so much. So, dear listeners, here's where we are. We're in, not in my living room anymore. We're in this weird hotel room up in Vancouver. And Eva and I are shooting the movie Overboard. Mm-hmm. And Sim and Amy flew up here. And so we're podcasting from here. And I'm so...
This is exciting.
I know. I'm excited. I want a series on the podcast. I want like my own.
Yeah. You can get it.
You want your own segment? Like
yeah, I
every
want my
week?
Own segment.
You
sure.
already
I want
have
my own
it.
Segment. And I want it to be about wine. Not so much about it, just me drinking.
Do you remember the other day when we were talking a little bit about spirituality?
Yeah.
And I know I don't always delve that deep in this podcast, mm-hmm. But you did kind of give me a little pause, like sort of with a little bit of like personal reflection, because you said something like, can you imagine being somebody who doesn't believe that there's anything more powerful than themselves?
Than themselves, yeah. Or imagine, I can't imagine a world in which I think I'm the end all be all. Like I have nobody to answer to. I have no higher power, spirit, being, energy, whatever.
So what is that for you? Do you mind my asking?
I grew up Catholic, so I'm super Catholic. I'm like, you know, your stereotypical Latino, like Catholic guilt. And but I was telling Anna, I was saying, for me, it was like drilled into me. I went to Catholic school and then I did my communion and my confirmation and like I did all the sacraments and all that stuff. So it's drilled into you as a child. And so now... I remember in college getting a little away from it and then kind of coming back to it. And it, to me, like when I walk into a church, it just brings me home. Like I feel like it's home to me, but that's how I was raised.
And I was telling you how
when you walk into a church,
it feels terrifying. Like I'm going to screw up. I don't understand any of the rules because I didn't grow up in a religious household. Yeah. And yeah. I'm kind of getting to the place in life where I'm searching,
exploring. That's such a wonderful place to be
really?
In spirituality, the curious space of like, what's that? I don't understand that. Like I went through this phase. I was telling you, I took a theology class because I was fascinated with Buddhism. And not that I wanted to be a Buddhist. I was just like, what is that? You know, and then I just wanted to learn about it. And then I learned about, you know, when you learn about all these other religions, it's like different ladders to the same place. It's like, oh, okay, we all believe there's something else out there besides us. So I just thought it was so depressing to live in a world in which you're like, well, I'm it. I'm pretty amazing. And if I do something wrong, then it doesn't really matter.
I feel like that has sadly been the world that because I grew up with sociologists, like mm-hmm. I told you. Mm-hmm. So everything, the way I was raised, we sort of look at things analytically or whatever, but it didn't. So now I'm at this place where I want to feel a little more fulfillment. Mm-hmm. And truthfully, like meeting all these people that I've been doing on the podcast, there's a lot of amazing people that I really admire that have a deep sense of spirituality that so now I'm like, well, maybe I should like
explore.
Yeah. Think about some
that
things.
Would be a really fun journey for your podcast to see what you learned. You know, like, I learned
I'm going to die, but maybe it'll be okay.
I don't know. I'll go somewhere.
Or I'll be the ghost.
You could stay here.
I'll be the ghost.
All.
I'm going to be haunting you. Yeah, for sure. Hi,
Jeez,
Eva.
God, why are you
still
there?
Sorry. Just me again.
You want some coffee? Yeah. No, I actually get fascinated by spirituality and people's belief systems because actually I recently got my master's and one of my classes was anthropology. And so like the study of humankind to me is so fascinating. And when you study humankind, faith is a big part of that, of our history, of our, you know, we're tribal people, we hold on to culture, we hold on to language, like just the study of humankind to me is fascinating. And you can't really study humankind without exploring faith because faith is such a big part of the story of humankind. I mean, war, you know, look at all the wars started over religion and territories. And
but don't you think that, like, I also view that as a gender difference?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if women ruled the world,
yeah,
there would be
peace.
Well, yeah.
The Dalai Lama says that.
It's a simplistic way.
You and the Dalai Lama. Anna and the Dalai Lama.
Longoria. Yeah. Go on.
You and the Dalai Lama have come to the same conclusion. Yeah. He said that. He said, because somebody said, would the next Dalai Lama be a woman? And he said, it would be great. I mean, he was like, it would be an amazing thing to have more women in leadership.
We talk a lot about on the podcast a bit about how like pussy sort of controls like everything. But sadly, like the desire for pussy, sadly, I hate it that I sort of put it in those base terms.
Yeah.
But that's what it is.
Uh-huh.
That's what it feels like to me. Is that like sort of like the misogynistic desire for Sim is like, oh God, he's sweating.
No, keep going.
Do you agree with this,
Sim? I agree with you. I do agree with you, though. I mean, I do now.
What?
After working with Anna for this long and working with women, and I said this before on the podcast, I would much rather work with women.
Yeah.
Everything would be so much easier.
Yeah,
if women
yeah.
ran everything.
But you never fully give me the satisfaction of that. Because when you say that, you're like, they get things done. You're like, they're on time. Like, they...
Come on.
A little bit.
I'm not saying that women are... Yeah, they're reliable, sure. But they're also incredibly intelligent. They're strong leaders. I like working with them.
Mm-hmm.
Being honest.
I love that. I love that. Okay. No, why am I...
She doesn't
like,
believe me.
No, I'm like all bristly. I'm like... Oh,
women are amazing. No, I think... I agree with you. Women... I do... You know, I'm a big political activist, too. And so... I try to search for women who want to be part of that political process, which is automatically a male world, not because you know it's supposed to be. It's just dominated by men, and so I feel like if we had more female politicians, you know, a seat at the table, you know, when people are talking about women's healthcare and there's not a woman at the table, that's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, when you're talking about childcare and there's not a woman at the table, you know. So I just think it would be a very different country and world to have more women in political power.
We would definitely, like, I think, protect our boys.
Well, they, you know, who was it? I don't remember who said it. It was a Deepak Chopra or I don't know, somebody smart, right? Where they said, if you give a man money, he will... spend it on himself, but if you give a woman money, she'll spend it on her family. And so if you think of that one family at a time.
Well, and that's about like, yeah, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but the idea of microloans.
Yeah, right? Microloans. Yes.
And how that will hopefully sort of improve the conditions for a lot of people's lives because.
My foundation gives microloans. To women, and they're paid back at like 99%, and there'll be as small as $25 to $50 to. There's a woman in Venezuela, a really huge success story. She's like the Hanes. She used to make underwear and bras, but she would sew them. She would go get a microloan for $25, buy material, sew some things, sell it, go back, get a microloan for more money to get more material. She'd sew, and she built her business. Now she's like the undergarments of Venezuela or whatever. And you're like, that
is amazing.
Is a story. Yeah.
That is, that's the power of a small amount of money that can do a lot of good in the right hands.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you. Eva, you're an inspiration to me. You are. And when we've been working together, you crack me up at like 7 in the morning. I get to squeeze your ass. And
anytime. My ass is available.
We are having, I have to tell, dear listeners, we're having a, Simba's looking at me like, don't you say this. But we are having a little bit of
A printing issue.
We have.
Why don't you email it to me?
For you.
Yeah, no, we have some fun things happening. I think it's being taken care of right now. I just wanted things
to
happen on time.
That was very calm. You said that
doing a great,
in a very calm way.
But you two are doing a great job filling.
Fuck you. Fuck you. He hasn't listened to a fucking word we've said.
You guys were talking about how great women are.
Uh-huh.
And I agree.
And how's it going? Yeah. Yeah. Pussy. Oh, God. Liberal, like, bullshit. Blah, blah, blah.
What games are we going to play?
We're going to play one game.
It is a surprise.
Oh, actually, we have a couple of fun things lined up for you. I think you'll have fun with them.
Okay. Yeah. She'll let me. I'll let her have fun with it. Or
I think she'll have fun with it.
Yes, I hope so. I will be in pain.
What time do you have to leave, by the way?
Now, in about 5 minutes.
Okay,
but
great.
It's fine. I have to go watch Wonder Woman.
What time is it? Seriously?
No, I'm just kidding. No, we have a dinner at 6.
I know.
We have a dinner. I just would love to take a shower before then, but that's
okay.
It.
Okay, what time is it now? 2? We got you for 4 hours.
No. You don't understand my process, okay? You don't understand my process. Listen, to get ready.
I need a break too.
How long does it take you both to get ready?
Well, I need a nap. That's more important.
I know. Me too.
I might take that now.
I'm ready for a nap.
So. I'm exhausted. No, me? I mean, it depends. Like, I'm not impressing anybody tonight.
Yeah.
So 10 minutes.
10 minutes? So you can shower and get ready in 10 minutes?
Yeah. I mean, if my hair's wet. You know, like, it'll dry eventually.
I'm a good hour.
What do you do? Do you put makeup on or
anything? Yeah.
Well, if I put makeup on.
Clearly, because I tried to do it this morning, and it's probably looking, whatever.
You look very cute.
Well, we should
By the way, Anna looks so charmingly disheveled every time I see her. But, like, in that way where I'll try to get that hair texture and that smudgy eye that you have, and I'm like, I can't do it.
You know, it's my wonderful process of slobberiness. We've been working late. Nice.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't
and I
like
should
it.
Tell our listeners. You, yeah,
but I've been finishing like at midnight, so I'll go in like at noon, and I finish at midnight. I'm like a happy camper.
It was really charming to see you guys from the window scene that we did last night. So fun to see all of you guys playing poker.
Oh, in the warmth as you're freezing outside the door.
Yeah, but not that bad. But have you been enjoying this whole movie?
I do. You know, every time Anna and I have a scene together, we just want to make it bigger and longer.
I know. And I always want to grope her.
Mm-hmm.
I want to grope you. Mm-hmm. You must evoke that feeling in everybody.
By the way, Oprah did that. Yeah. Oprah groped me or I groped Oprah? I can't remember.
I bet
she picked me up. She picked me up and she's like, I just want to pick you up. And I was like attached to Oprah's hip.
You have that feeling. Like, yeah. People do want to do that to you. What is that?
I don't know. Mel did it last night too. The guy who plays my husband. He just picked me up and he's like, oh, I love you so much. I'm like, I love you too. Oh, aww. My God.
It's a great quality have.
What? My spirit animal's a monkey. I don't mean to offend any Native American people saying that, but... Because apparently we can't say spirit animal anymore.
Oh, really?
Oh, we can't?
No.
No, what?
Yeah.
Isn't that used like on Instagram every day by people?
I don't know. That's Somebody weird. Should tell us why we can't say that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah.
By the way, I love
should.
These fuzzy microphones. It just makes me want to make out with it. Do people do boop, everybody boop, else boop. Do that? How many people have done this on this particular microphone?
No one else. That's a fresh mic for you.
Okay.
Okay. So now we're going to go into a segment called Deal Breakers.
Deal Breaker. Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. But you have to imagine you're single.
Oh, okay.
All right. So this is like
okay.
in your dating world.
Yep. Yep. I had those moments.
Okay. First one. He doesn't want you to wear deodorant because he loves to smell your armpits after a workout.
After a workout? No, that's probably a deal breaker. Hygiene's a deal breaker.
That's a little weird.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Seems like a bit of fetish.
No.
Are you would do that?
Well, we've talked about that? It. Anna, would you mind sharing what you shared with us when we were prepping earlier?
You don't wear deodorant.
I do. I'm obsessive about deodorant.
Okay.
Because I never want to smell. But I do. Chris does not mind when I'm a little fragrant.
Yeah. Yeah. And a little ripe.
Yeah.
A little ripe.
Yeah. He sure doesn't mind it.
Yeah.
And it's a little weird to me, but I love it that he
that he loves it.
Yeah. Love it that he's accepting of.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't think it would be. I don't think it's weird if it's like, oh, I love you so much. I don't care how you smell. But like to request it is that's the strange part.
You.
Probably.
Yeah. You might be right. Yeah. That's why it might be. A
but I am like super. I am always super conscious. I tried to switch to a non-toxic deodorant, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, the Crystal Rock.
Yeah, like one of the, I don't even remember. And it was just like sweaty. It was like wet. And I kept going, I'm sorry, do I smell? Because I'm trying a new deodorant. And then I would go to the next person. I'm like, I'm sorry, if I smell, it's because I'm trying to, like I told 20 people a day and they were like, and somebody texted me the day, how's the new deodorant going? And I was like, oh my God, did I tell you that too? Like I had to stop with the, I just went back to the toxic stuff because I was hypersensitive about it. I'm like, do I smell? Do I smell?
Yeah.
Do I smell? Guys, do I smell? And they're like, shut up.
Nobody says shut up to you.
People do.
If they do, I'm going to punch them with my little weak fist. Okay. Number two, he doesn't like watching movies with subtitles because he doesn't like reading.
Oh, my husband, I know it's hard to imagine this single.
We had a long,
Because my husband's Mexican, so he prefers subtitles because sometimes he doesn't, especially if the film is like English from England.
I prefer subtitles with like English speaking, like
American.
I watch Netflix with subtitles.
With subtitles. I love subtitles. And I watch a lot of foreign stuff, so I feel like my subtitles are just always naturally on. So
it's a deal breaker.
Yeah, probably a deal breaker.
Yeah.
I like subtitles. And who doesn't like to read?
Yeah.
Well, that was the other darker issue. Okay. He only wants to have sex blindfolded because it heightens.
Deal breaker. You don't even have to finish that. Deal breaker, because I think visual is important. So wait, is he blindfolded or I'm blindfolded?
Weirdly,
I'm like,
we phrased it as though he was blindfolded.
Oh, no, I want him to see me. I'm amazingly hot. So
fuck yeah.
Hello.
Yes. Dude.
Definitely.
Hello.
Yes.
No, I think that's, I don't like any of that weird fetish stuff. Like, oh, I like to be spanked or like all of that stuff is I like a traditional guy.
I love it. Yeah. Cowgirl. Behind, whatever. Right? Just the regular stuff.
Spinning helicopter, normal stuff. Normal stuff, yeah.
Lights on. I love it. Okay, he doesn't celebrate any holidays, including birthdays.
Deal breaker. I celebrate, you know, Flag Day. Like, I love any excuse for a party.
Well, our caveat to this was, to him, every day should be a celebration or no day should be a celebration.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I have a friend who's Jehovah, and so she doesn't celebrate birthdays. And I'm always like, happy birthday. Oh, sorry. Happy Tuesday. Because I'm like, oh, that's right. She doesn't celebrate birthdays. But I like celebrating everything. Don't you? Or no, you're like,
you
no.
don't care.
You don't care?
No. That's not true. I do. I like, I love celebrating things. It's just, I hate the pressure sometimes that holidays put on you.
Yeah. Holidays different.
Including birthdays.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I feel, I've just found in my past that a lot of times when you put that much pressure on something, you're bound to be a little disappointed.
Mm. But pressure on what part of it?
I guess
the
like
gifts?
With birthdays, it's sort of the celebration of you. It feels like, shouldn't this be grander? Or like, are my friends didn't like text? Like, you know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff. And then holidays, I guess my favorite holiday is Thanksgiving.
Oh, mine too.
Right? It's just
mine
about the feast and
it's about the family
and,
gathering.
Yeah.
I do like it. I did go through this phase after Housewives exploded or whatever, where I felt like Christmas people expected better gifts. Because yes. You know what I mean? Like I was there like, where's my car? And I'm like, no, don't you like the scarf I got you? But that could have been my own projections. Like I'm not saying anybody asked me for a car, but that's why I think I lean more to Thanksgiving because there's no gifts involved.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The I don't know, holidays in general are a little rough. I do love Super Bowl. And I know that's not a holiday.
No, but
that's, I think that's my favorite
one. Super Bowl, 4th of July, like those. Really?
4th of July is pretty good, but then you got to like figure out where to park for the explosions and whatnot.
Yeah.
I just want to be rich enough so I just have my own explosions.
Yeah.
I think you're rich enough.
Yeah. Fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I love fireworks too.
Fireworks. Yeah, I do too. But you can also please feel free to tell my dear friend Sim to fuck off. I'm sorry. I did that. I did it preemptively and I shouldn't have.
No, you real. But here's the thing. You wanted to get out of the way soon, like quickly. Now it's out of the way.
So. What?
But I was also mad because you told me that I was rich enough to have my own.
Why were you? Why would you be mad about that? What you said wasn't
true. I'm embarrassed.
That's funny. That's hysterical.
He does. He makes me mad. We've known each other for so long.
Yeah.
He's a dear.
Years.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Okay. He tells you he has never gone down on a woman before.
Oh.
You could feel free to ask a question or two if you
right,
want to.
Right. So meaning he doesn't know how to, or he doesn't like it, or
he doesn't think he'd be good at it.
Yeah, then he probably isn't.
So is that a deal breaker?
You know, I don't know about that one.
I feel like you could coach him.
Yeah. I feel all women can coach.
Definitely. Yes.
Yeah. I feel like all women can coach. I don't know if it's a deal breaker because for me, I don't really.
That's how I felt.
Yeah. It's the same thing.
It felt like there's a coaching up. It's a teaching opportunity,
there's
right?
There's a teaching opportunity, but also that's not the end all be all. Like it's not.
Right.
That's not
so true.
It's not like that's your whole sex life.
Right. And I'm not like.
There are other more important things in the sex life than
what
that.
What are they? Girth, width, size, length,
weight. No.
But do you subscribe to the idea that size doesn't matter?
No. I mean, I think there's a size for you. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't subscribe to the bigger the better. I don't think that's necessarily true either.
But dear listeners, Eva just like extended her arms out like she was on the Titanic.
Bring it on! Like no. I'm like Goldilocks. Yeah, that was. Remember that episode in Sex and the City when Samantha was like, "I didn't like him. He was too small. I didn't like him. He was too big." And Sarah Jessica goes, "What are you fucking Goldilocks?" Like Goldilocks.
Okay, he has a belly button ring.
Wait, am I dating a gay man now? What is happening? Yeah, probably deal breaker. That is indicative of so many other things.
Like what?
So many other issues.
Like what?
Like sexuality. I think he'll be questioning sexuality. And then pain tolerance of like kinky stuff and blah, blah. Like, yeah, it's just like that's a rabbit hole.
Because I was thinking that it could also be.
Wait, does Chris have his belly pierced? Is that what you're asking?
No.
But I asked you about that earlier.
I was thinking that that idea sort of lended itself to like this was a not maybe a mistake that someone made, but the idea that I'm going to own. Like a tattoo that you regret.
Yeah.
Or something that it's like, okay, yeah, this is the thing that I got.
Mm. Yeah, no.
All right. You're definitive. Nope. I love it. Okay. For the second date in a row, he tells the waiter it's your birthday. To
get a free dessert.
Free dessert.
Wait. I have to phrase this better. Yeah. This is the second time on a great date.
Mm.
And he tells.
I don't know. There's something that could be funny about that. I would need to give it like a third or fourth date.
What if he does it on the
fourth?
Yeah. What if he does it on the fourth date?
Yeah. Then it's okay.
Third date?
Yeah. No. I mean,
but
like once or twice. Like,
it's
oh,
funny,
it's funny.
Cute.
That's funny. That's cute. You did that again. That thing. But like then the third time's like, oh, that thing. Then the fourth time you're like, please stop doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It will, especially if like that kind of thing draws so much attention too.
Yeah.
Especially to like if. Being in the line, I don't know. Like,
it
may for me.
I actually hate that singing at a restaurant.
Oh,
yeah. I'm like high hide under the table.
Oh my God,
it's the worst.
Yeah, I'm like the whole like and you're like, oh my God, are we at Olive Garden?
And then people are in the restaurant are forced to clap.
Applaud.
It's just
no. I want to die a slow death when that happens.
Okay, so should we do a how would you
proceed? Let's do it. If you want to pick one of them, or you want to do both, it's up to you.
How would you proceed?
Oh.
You know which one we both like.
Okay. Your agent calls you and says that Johnny Depp wants to meet with you about his newest project, a film that he wrote.
Mm.
You arrive at the Chateau Marmont to meet him for drinks that
night. I
always
go there. That's my spot.
I like it too. I live right there.
Don't I? You live there? I live right at like...
Good tell.
Oh, hi. Yeah, let me tell everybody.
Tell everyone your address.
Let me tell everybody.
He tells you that he is a huge fan and he wants you to co-star with him in the film, in this film.
Mm.
The project has been a labor of love that he has spent 10 years working on. I'm sorry I'm laughing, but I'm just so appalled about what I'm about to say. He says, ever since I saw you in Frida and Blow, I knew you were the only woman for this role.
Okay, so that's two different actresses. So what's the question?
Just how would you proceed?
Well, I would be like, oh my God, I wasn't in Frida. That was Salma Hayek. And I wasn't in Blow. That was Penelope Cruz. But
do you still want to be part of the project?
Do you still want me?
Yeah, dude. I want to fucking bone you.
And are you hitting
you
on
go
me?
is
John, see, I think Johnny and I would be friends because we both like wine. Oh my God. Well, first of all, I love Johnny Depp as an actor. So I'd be like, oh my God, I'm such a big fan of yours. So we should totally keep talking.
Yeah, I'd love that. Yeah. I got to tell you though, I loved you and Frida.
Yeah. I wasn't in Frida. I saw Frida, but I wasn't.
It was good, right?
It was good. Salma Hayek.
I mean, she was like the way the eyebrows, dude. Yeah. I mean, that's like you did was such a brave choice.
Yeah, it wasn't me. Wasn't me.
It was brave. It was brave.
It was brave of her for sure. It was brave of Salma Hayek.
I love it when actresses like sort of do biopics. Yeah. And
you've done You've done a lot of biopics.
Yeah. Yeah, I have. Yeah. You want some wine?
Yes, I do.
Also, yeah. I got to tell you.
I need to catch up.
What you did in Blow was so good.
I don't think I was even an actress when Blow came out. That's how old it is.
Yeah, but what you did, though, like, it literally
blew me away. But you were in Blow.
Yeah, but what you did, it blew me away.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, like... I love it when somebody can be raw, you know? And just like what you've done.
Wow. Yeah. Definitely. I think Penelope Cruz was pretty raw in
that movie. Not as good as you.
Yeah.
Well, not as good as you in that movie, you know?
Yeah.
No way.
I mean, if I had ever done that role, I would have done it similar probably.
Yeah.
With an accent.
No, but you were great. You were so good.
You were great.
That's why I really wanted to meet with you.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah. No, I mean it. Like, I wouldn't request this meeting here at the Chateau, if I didn't believe in your past work.
Oh, thank you. So what? So you're going to direct this?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to direct it.
And you wrote it?
Yeah, I wrote it.
Yeah, and what's it about?
Well, it's sort of like it's a combination of, I want to like, because I've always like lusted after like women in general, you know, but especially artistic women, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know?
Mm.
So you're an architect. You know what I mean?
Archetype? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I imagine like you're building, I don't know, like Atlantis, you know?
Oh, I'm literally an architect.
Yeah.
In the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
got it.
Yeah. And like, but it's sort of out of cocaine.
Oh.
And we hang a lot of your artwork like all over this crazy resort, you know?
Yeah.
It's in the middle of the ocean. And I don't know. I just went as soon as I wrote this, I was like, oh man, there's only one woman for the job.
And that's Penelope Cruz or Salma Hayek.
a woman with vowels in her name.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. That's me. That's me. Eva Longoria.
See, that's what I'm talking about. When you put that spin on your name like that, yeah. That's what I'm like, oh, yeah. That reminds me once again why I wanted
ethnicity. Yeah.
You for the role. Also, I got the penthouse. I don't know if you want to talk about the role further.
I'm gonna have to go because I have an early call, but we should totally keep talking. Is Heyman your agent? So we should, but we should for sure keep talking. And
you
when
sure
it becomes,
you gotta go.
I gotta go. I know. What time is it? So late. I know.
Have you ever been up there before?
I have. Yeah.
Yeah. With who?
No party. A party event. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm sure you've been up there a lot.
Yeah, I sure have. Yeah.
I love that Johnny Depp is like a casting couch guy.
Yeah.
He's going to be on the podcast soon.
Let's do the game. We'll do the game, then we'll do two calls, and then we can wrap it up after that.
I do have to tell you, dear listeners, I think that, no, it's gross if I say that I may have been ill the last couple days, but whatever. Nobody wants to hear that.
You don't want to talk about it.
I just really have painted myself into a corner. Okay, let's do the game.
Let's do the game. Okay, so we need a couple of buzzers here.
Did I tell you that I may have been a little sick?
Yeah, you think you told me that. Yeah. But what does that mean?
Well, it means that I feel a little bit like I'm phlegmy.
Oh, yeah.
Feels
you said
gross
you had a strep
throat.
That you had a strep throat scare.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's why I'm like, as I listen to my voice on the, that's better. Okay.
Oh, you sound phlegmy. I don't think so.
Excuse me.
What is this?
Okay, that's your buzzer. It's a toothbrush inside of a glass. Does it make a noise? Perfect. Yeah, and your buzzer is a pen with a wine glass.
We play games on the podcast, but I have...
Anna's record is now 2-10.
For winning?
Games, yes.
Okay, good.
So she's not doing great.
Okay, great.
You did win last time, so you do have a winning streak happening right now.
Wow. Sweet. Yeah.
Okay. So let's see how you do here.
Oh, God.
This is a game called Celebrity Name Game.
Oh, God.
So both of you have names that are mispronounced all the time.
Oh, yeah. And
do you get Ava?
Yes, all the time. Because Ava Mendez is Ava. Right. She goes Ava. But people go Ava thinking they're saying my name in Spanish, and they're not. It's because it's Eva or Eva, but it's never Ava.
It's never Ava.
It's never with an A. So I just go, no, it's with an E. Eva. How do you mispronounce Anna?
Well, Anna.
They go, Anna?
Anna.
Who says Anna? Anna?
I mean, a lot of, and it's my parents' fault. Yeah. You know, I blame them, Anna. Because I think that if it was A-N-A, then it would be easier for people. You know, Anna.
Anna.
Yeah, but A-N-N-A sounds like, you know, spells like it's Anna. Okay. Yeah. Explain
so
then.
People mispronounce celebrity names all the time. This is a very easy game. I'm going to read the celebrity name, and you're just going to tell me how you pronounce it properly.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
This is going to be bad for me.
Here's how you do it, though. I'm going to just give you three movies, and then you're going to tell me who the actor or actress is.
Oh. Okay. Who's in all three of those movies?
Yeah.
Got it.
Or two movies, depending on the question. First one. Here we go. And you guys have your buzzers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Our buzzers are consistent of...
A pen with Eva a wine
has
glass?
Eva has a toothbrush. My child's toothbrush with a water glass.
Here we go. First question. Monster, Mad Max, young adult. Eva.
Charlize Theron.
Incorrect. Anna.
Charlize Theron.
I'm going to give it to you.
Ooh.
It's actually Charlize Theron.
I don't think I deserved it.
What did you say?
Theron.
Was it close?
Theron.
What do you think? Judges? What
I
do you
said,
think?
I said...
You said Theron.
Theron.
Yes.
You said Theron?
You said it's Theron.
Yeah, you got
Anna
that
was,
right.
I thought Anna was close.
I think
Anna's
pretty
close.
All right. It's 1-0 Anna.
Yeah.
Second question.
You're coming over to my hotel room and I
I love
school
games.
You.
No, but that was hard. I was like, Charlize.
That was a tough one.
But
second question. Precious, Empire. Ooh. Eva.
Gabby Sidibe.
Try it again.
Gabby Sidibe. Is it Gabrielle? Are you talking about her full name?
So you can say this, the last name is fine.
Gabriella. Gabrielle.
Say it again.
Gabrielle. Gabrielle Sidibe.
Nope.
Gabby Sidibe. It's Gabby. I've worked with her.
Which is really disappointing that you mispronounced this.
The first name, not even the last.
You mispronounced the last name as well.
Oh, okay.
Gabriella Sidibe.
Dabadoo.
Sidibadoo.
The correct answer is Gabourey Sidibe.
Gabourey Sidibe.
Were saying Sidibe.
I was saying Sidibe. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Sidibe.
Sidibe. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. This is depressing. I'm sorry.
All right.
Sorry, Gabby, but I call her Gabs, so it doesn't matter.
So it doesn't matter, exactly.
I got it right.
Third question. My father, the hero, green card. Oh, come on.
You are the dude who knows everybody. Like, you're the statistic man.
My father, the hero.
My father, the hero, with Katherine Heigl, and this French actor played her father. He was also in Green Card. Come on.
Gerard Depardieu?
Yep. You got to buzz in.
Gerard Depardieu.
I'll give it to you.
Right. Gerard Depardieu.
Yeah, it's actually Gerard Depardieu. So you were correct.
Depardieu.
I think I was a little off.
Yeah, I think she was off too.
All right, well then we're not going to give you credit. It's still 1-0.
By the way, that's not what he's most known for.
What is he most known for?
The other movie, Katherine Heigl. Really? Does anybody know a Katherine Heigl movie? What's he's most famous for? The French movie or Andy McDowell, the movie with Andy McDowell.
Yeah. What was that movie with Andy McDowell?
Come on,
Andy McDowell and Gerard Depardieu. I can't remember it now.
Depardieu.
You're sure he's in a movie with Katherine Heigl? And that's not Gerard Butler you're thinking of?
Yeah.
No. Well, I think Gerard Butler was in a movie with Katherine Heigl.
He was.
Like a soccer movie or something. Didn't he do a soccer movie?
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah. Gerard Butler. That's another one. By the way, I did a game where you had to spell names, and they gave me Matthew McConaughey,
oh, no.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
No, no way.
Jake
There's
Gyllenhaal.
No way.
Spell Jake Gyllenhaal.
No,
nope,
I will
can't
not.
Do it.
I'm like, can I buy a vowel? Like, it was so hard. I fucked that one up.
Nope.
I would hate that. I hate spelling. I hate pronunciation games. I hate this whole thing. I hate this podcast.
Hey, we only have 4 questions left.
Okay, go.
I don't think you're going to get this one.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Wonder Woman, Keeping Up with the Joneses. Eva.
Gal Gadot.
Incorrect. Anna.
Chris Pine.
It's Gal Gadot.
It's actually Gal Gadot.
Fuck.
Huh? It's Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot. Gal Gadot.
Gal, but it is Gal.
Gal?
Gal.
You,
I said
but
Gal.
What did you say?
Totally got that one.
I said Gal Gadot.
Yeah.
Gadot, but no, it's Gadot.
Gadot.
Sims being a dick. You got that one.
No, she didn't get that one.
No, I didn't
The whole point of this game is pronouncing it correctly.
I thought it was Gadot. I thought the T was silent, and you're saying it's not.
It's not.
Yes, interesting. Yeah. Interesting. I'm not that familiar with Israeli names.
Question number 6.
This sucks for me.
Striptease, G.I. Jane. Eva.
Demi Moore.
Incorrect. Anna.
Gosh, I'm going to go with Demi Moore.
Wait, say the first name again.
Demi.
Say it slowly.
Demi.
All right, I'll give it to you. It's
Moore.
Demi Moore.
What did I say?
Demi.
Oh, it's dummy?
Duh. Dummy.
I knew the pressure was on, man.
Dummy.
Fucking sucks.
Last
Demi
question.
More.
What's the score? Give a score check.
Yeah, Anna's winning 2-0.
Oh, well, then she's going to win this one. Last one. No one's going to get this one either. Borat, the Dictator. No one wants to buzz in. Eva.
Sasha. Right?
We'll just finish it.
Oh, God, now I forget. Sasha Baron Cohen?
Incorrect. Anna.
Sasha Baron Cohen.
Say the first name again.
Sasha Baron Cohen.
Sasha?
Sasha.
Baron.
Cohen.
Incorrect. It's actually Sasha.
No.
Sasha. Baron.
No.
Sasha, you were right. None of us are going to get that.
No, wait,
where did you get your information?
I want to work with him.
Yes, I worked with him for like 5 fucking months.
Well, you should call him and ask him what his name is.
I worked with Isla and she's like, oh, Sasha, Sasha. So yeah.
Isla was on our podcast and she said Sasha.
Mm.
That's in her Australian accent.
Yeah, that's true. Sasha, Sasha. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a 5-minute break. We'll do calls. Anna, you win. Congratulations.
Yay.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
And you have to have Felicity on here. Felicity Huffman, have you done Flicka?
No, she's love that.
She's great.
Awesome.
I would love that.
She has a blog called What the Flicka, and it's like a mom blog. And she posts really funny shit. She has coffee mugs that say, I can't adult today. And it's not wine.
I can't.
That's really funny.
Yeah. She's like really cute stuff.
Oh. All right.
Ready?
So, yeah.
All right. Let's get going. We're going to call Maria first.
Maria, did you pick a Latina because it's me?
No. There's no way I would ever do that.
Did you racially screen?
I feel awful.
Hello.
Hi, Maria. It's Sim.
Hi, Maria. Oh. It's Anna.
Hi, Maria. It's Eva.
Hello.
Oh, she
can you hear us?
Yeah.
Yes.
Maria.
Maria's here.
Yes.
Yay. Yes. It's Sim and
Anna
and Eva.
That's Eva Longoria.
Hi, Maria.
Hi.
We're in Vancouver. Where are you?
I'm in LA.
Oh, thanks for talking with us today.
Yeah,
Maria.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, Maria. You're in a messy situation with your boyfriend and his roommate. So
what?
Tell us what's going on.
Oh my gosh.
So his roommate, I know his name. His roommate's name is John, and I know him because he is my ex-boyfriend's best friend. So I met him like 6 years ago when I was dating my ex-boyfriend, and then all of us moved out to Los Angeles separately at different times, and John moved in with the boy who is now my boyfriend. And about 2 months ago, after a party, he pulled me aside and confessed all of these feelings, told me that he's had all these feelings and been in love with me since I was dating my ex-boyfriend, and that he thought there would be a window of opportunity when I broke up with that ex, but he didn't want to act on anything. And then I started dating his roommate. And so now he feels uncomfortable with me around and feels uncomfortable being my ex-boyfriend's friend. And I at first was like, oh, he's just drunk, like spewing bullshit, whatever. So I asked a friend who was a mutual friend of us to talk to him about it. And he said he didn't remember having the conversation, but he's glad he told me all of those things because that's how he was feeling. And so now it's been like almost 2 months and things were fine. And then they started to get sort of uncomfortable. And so I'm not totally sure if he's comfortable with me around and it's making me uncomfortable. And I haven't told my boyfriend any of this because I don't want to come in between them. But I'm getting to a point where I don't know what else I can do about the situation.
Maria, what's your boyfriend's name?
His name is Evan.
Evan. Okay. So Evan is your boyfriend and John is the roommate.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I'm sweating. I'm sweating for you.
I know. This is a tough one, but it's also so relatable because I don't know, probably a lot of people have been in a very similar situation.
Love triangles?
Yeah.
This is a quadrangle.
Don't they want Jesse's girl?
Mm-hmm.
Jesse's girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Maria, how long have you been with Evan?
We've been together almost a year.
And you love him?
I love him more than I've loved anyone else in my life. It's like on the daily, we tell each other that we're just astounded by how much we love each other.
Oh.
So you're happy?
Yeah, we're very happy.
So does John feel
does John have a like job wise? Does John have a lesser sort of position than Evan? Or like, I'm just wondering about their competitiveness towards each other and relationship to you.
Yeah, and it's John is one of those people who sort of floats through life, and everyone wonders how they're still surviving because they just bounce around so much. Yeah, he's got goals. He's going to school. He's focusing on his life, but
maybe not really. So how close would you say, I know they're roommates, but are they really tight friends?
Right.
Yeah. You told me they were best friends, right? Yesterday on the phone?
Yeah, they're best. Yeah. Like when I started dating Evan, he told me, he's like, one night we like drank a handle of rum together, and that's when we became best friends, like stepbrothers moment kind of thing.
So they shared some shit.
So part of me is like, maybe, yeah.
So I don't want to cut you off. Part of you were going to say something important, I think.
Maybe John's threatened because now I'm also, not only does he have these feelings, but I'm taking away his best friend in a lot of ways because he's now spending all his free time with me.
Yeah, I'm like a realist. So I'm not like I feel like it's a non-issue. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like who cares what John thinks? He seems fleety and unstable in life. I mean, I don't even know this guy, but like who cares how he feels?
But here's
especially if she's happy with Evan. If you guys are happy and you feel like peas in a pod and you're like, oh my God, it's my soulmate. Like, moving on. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but here's the tricky thing is that John could potentially have the power to needle into the relationship a bit. I think so does Evan know anything about any of this?
No, he just knows that we had a conversation that night. But he doesn't know what it was about or that any of these feelings are happening. I have told him that I felt sort of uncomfortable recently, but he was like, oh, that's just John being moody. Like, he does that sometimes.
Has he been at like physically aggressive in any way?
No. The closest he came was when we had that conversation. He asked if he could kiss me, which I told him flat out no, because Evan was like 30 feet away.
That's a weird thing to do.
It is.
When your best friend is 30 feet away.
For sure.
I don't care how drunk you are. It's a weird thing.
That's what I'm saying.
It is.
We got to cut the umbilical cord of John.
Yeah.
And like,
it's like Love Actually when he comes with the creepy guy.
But, the guy from Walking Dead?
Yeah.
But this also really could be like, I think that this is one of those cases where it seems to me like there could be the case for a lot of drama or a minimal amount of drama. And it sort of depends on what course of action you want to take and sort of the severity of the situation. It sounds to me like John is a lonely, slightly lost guy. And he really wants you, and he wants what Evan has in general, and I know that LA is a place of a lot of lost, you know, people trying
searching.
To yeah mm-hmm. yeah and so the one course of action could be to sort of kind of ignore it. And I know maybe some of our listeners won't always agree with me with this, but it could have been, you know, just some lonely nights that he's just feeling like, I wish I had you. I wish I had a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. I wish I had, you know, whatever.
A better job. I wish I had a better life. I wish I had a better girl. I wish. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The other course of action would be to, talk to your boyfriend in a more frank manner. And say and kind of and spell it out for him a little bit like you did for us, because the thing about coming
between friendships is that it opens yourself up to your own vulnerabilities in your relationship. And so it's good to be thoughtful about how you take course of action mm-hmm. in all of this.
Well, see, and that's why I think that she shouldn't say anything. I hear what you're saying. Like, hey, go to Evan. If you and Evan are so strong and you're so like, oh my God, I love you too, then your relationship can take the truth of like, dude, honey, babe, John did this weird thing. Like, no big deal to me. I don't want it to come between you guys, but I just want you to know, and I want to be honest. I feel like that opens a can of worms.
No, that's the worst thing you can do.
Worst thing you can do.
Friendship is over.
I know. And then there's the moving out. And then that's why I'm saying, if Maria and Evan are in a good place, they should probably start thinking about what they're going to do in the future. You can't have a roommate forever. This always happens. Like, when the girlfriend comes in and you have two guy roommates, like, you have to start thinking, like, I'm not going to say anything at all. And I'm going to make sure my relationship is as best as it can be in case one day John's like, I told her a year ago I loved her. And Evan's like, that's stupid because what?
But you bring up an interesting point, though. If John says that a year later when Evan and Maria are in this great relationship because of whatever's happening in John's life after Maria ignored everything and nothing happened for a while and he brings it up another time, does that mean that Maria should something sooner? Because then what's going to end up happening is Evan is going to say, why didn't you tell me this sooner?
Well, now here's another angle too. Just to be clear, Maria, do you have any attraction at all to John?
Mm-hmm. No, I've never had any attraction. I've always seen him as like a dopey big brother.
Okay, but I bet that you're fun and, you know, I bet that like during some fun, crazy nights, like things get a little, I mean, I've definitely been in that position, I think, in the past where I'm like,
yeah,
how many people can I get to like me? I mean, in the past, I'm living it.
World record!
Yeah. So I think that if you really want this relationship with your boyfriend to continue on a healthy track, maybe just sit tight for a minute.
Yeah. But
also recognize that, that maybe some of like any flirtatious behavior is going to be taken at an extreme by people who want to absorb it at an extreme. You know,
can I offer something?
Yes.
Okay. So I think that Anna and Eva are completely 100% correct. Take a breath for a while. Don't do anything. See what happens. If he acts inappropriately again, then say something to him and shut it down and say, look, you can't do this anymore. Yeah, I'm dating your best friend. You need to stop this now.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I will tell him.
Yeah.
Then he will stop. Yeah. And if he doesn't, if it happens again, then you tell your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would focus on Evan. Like, I would just focus on making my relationship the best that it can be, because that's what makes you withstand any kind of blow from anything. Like, you know, any kind of turbulence you have in a relationship is based on how strong you guys are. So I would just – also, I think sometimes, you know, you said things have been weird in the apartment and things have been, like, weird. And I think sometimes that's us reading into it. You know what I mean? Like, just go about it and be like, hey, you want some popcorn? I made some popcorn. Here you go. Da, da, da. Like, keep it moving. Yeah, keep it moving.
Yeah.
What do you think, Maria?
Damn. I got to tell you, though, Maria, what a fucking awesome position to be in.
So nice to be wanted.
And I had this moment of like, wow, my life is a rom-com. Like, this is something that happens in movies.
Enjoy it. It doesn't happen often, but enjoy it while you have it.
Yeah, but it's, don't abuse it.
Don't abuse it. And remember, you know, he has feelings for you. So take that into account when you talk to him if he brings it up again. And they are best friends. So just remember all of that.
I think that's great advice. I'm going to hold tight. And then if something happens, I'll just go right to the source with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think if you protect your relationship, and that means also sort of, you know, protecting that friendship.
And you know, it's really natural for guys to have crushes on their best friend's girl.
Yeah,
it is that it is like.
It is natural. It's actually more common than people think.
Oh, completely.
I don't think people vocalize it as much, but it happens a lot.
Yeah.
I think a lot of men internalize it.
Yeah.
Because when you spend a lot of time with someone, you know, and you grow, you just get
attached.
And if
you're awesome, I mean, I'm awesome, you're awesome.
Exactly.
When you're awesome, it's pretty easy, yeah.
And they also get to see, like, the best sides of us when we're, like, gregarious and fun and, like, woo, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it's like, of course, like, you know, but... I would say, you know, protect your relationship and gently shut him down. He may be a very lonely,
he'll move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to find somebody.
Once he finds someone else and he'll forget about all of this.
He's going to be Maria who?
Yeah.
Yeah. But damn, what fucking awesome problems to have. I mean, I'm sorry, I don't mean to trivialize them, but I'm speaking as a 40-year-old woman with a child. And I wish somebody's roommate would have confessed their love to me.
I love you, Anna.
Thank you, Eva, but it's not the same, and you know it.
I know, it's not. I'm sorry.
Maria, thank you so much.
Thanks, Maria.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for all of your help.
I love you. Thanks, Maria.
Bye.
Bye.
I love you guys. Bye.
Bye. Dang, isn't that the thing though? Like, I don't know.
I'm always I'm like a realist, so I'm always like, what have you done? Don't do that. It's when somebody goes, my arm hurts when I do this. Well, stop fucking doing that. Like, you know what I mean? Don't entertain that.
Oh, I'm
shut it down.
Back in the day, man, I was the worst.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
I'd be like, oh, come on. You like me? Oh, stop. You shouldn't like me.
Nah. I'm amazing. I do give good.
Tell me why you like me. Oh, I'm not the perfect girlfriend, but I am.
We have one more call.
Okay.
And we're going to call Adina. Adina is also in Los Angeles, and she's 25.
So, Eva, what advice could you give to our listeners about previous relationships you've had? I mean, I know that's a broad question, but...
Mm-hmm. No. God, there's so many lessons I've learned in every relationship. You know, you take away so much from different people. But I just wish, you know, when I was younger, I wish I didn't spend energy on being jealous, or I wish I didn't spend energy on... this or that. Like, you just, in your 40s, as I am, and found Pepe, and he was 48, like, it was just, we were just two complete people, and now we just compliment each other. And it's hard to be that in your 20s.
Yeah.
You don't know who you are. How do you expect to fully know somebody else?
Right.
Yeah.
And I was so consumed with my own narcissism and jealousy that I couldn't
see straight.
Yeah.
No, but I feel like, there's so much wasted energy when you're young, because you just need to know yourself. And some people are like, I'm 26. I know myself. You don't know yourself. Like, go out and learn, be worldly, travel, go and do everything. And that way you really do find yourself. And then when you meet somebody, you go, oh, this person can hang with me. Because I feel like when you're in a relationship, you're trying to like, I know you best. I know my boyfriend best. And you're like, you don't even know you best.
Were all your exes completely different from each other?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my friends made fun of me because I never had a type. Like, I never had a type. I was like with a corporate America redheaded guy, and then I went to an NBA player, and then I went to a musician.
I always liked angry.
You have consistently picked angry people?
Until recently.
You know what I've consistently picked is talent.
That's but like, smart.
Talent is sexy to me. Like I said, I was engaged to like a corporate guy, and he was a really brilliant corporate mind. And I was like, oh my God, I love his mind. And then, you know, a really talented musician, and then a really talented, like, I love talented people.
Yeah, but they're also usually narcissists, and that can be difficult, but I'm with you. I couldn't be with somebody that I didn't admire on all levels, you know? Except I did like angry. Angry unemployed.
Angry and unemployed. Yeah. That's one of my ex-husbands.
All right, we're going to call Adina. Adina is 25, and she's also in Los Angeles.
Hello.
Adina.
Hi, Adina.
Hi.
That's Anna.
Hi. Oh, and guess
Hi,
who
Anna.
I'm here with?
Hi, it's Eva.
Eva Longoria. And she's amazing.
Hi, Eva.
Hi. We're so excited to talk to you, and we're going to fix your life.
Excellent.
So,
I'm
Adina.
So excited.
Adina, the subject line of your email to us really grabbed me. It says, my friend owes me $300, and she also might be pregnant. So, tell us the story.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought that might grab your attention. So, it's a little long. I apologize in advance. About 2 years ago, I met this girl through mutual friends, and we immediately hit it off because we were both pretty nerdy. We loved Harry Potter and Star Wars and all that fun stuff. But she was still in school about 3 hours away, so I didn't see her very often. However, she moved down to LA in March of this year, and she's like, I want to see you right when I move in. I was like, okay, sure. So we got together and she was telling me how she didn't really like her apartment and she thought she was going to have a job when she came down here, but it didn't work out. So she was looking for jobs, and specifically she was looking for a job that would be able to get her a work visa because she's not an American citizen and her visa is expiring in October. And I, you know, was trying to be the supportive friend, being like, oh, you know, I'm sure you'll find something soon. Don't worry. It might not be your dream job, but at least it'll get you to stay here. And she's like, yeah, that, or I can just find some guy to marry me. And I thought she was kidding. And then she's like, no, I'm 100% serious. Like, I would totally do that. And I was like, well, let's try to get you the job first. And we left the conversation in pretty high hopes. She was like, yeah, I have a few job interviews this week, so I'm really excited about that. 2 days after that, she called me in hysterics saying that her car had been towed and she had a few job interviews to get to. And I was like, is there anything I can do to help? Again, you know, just trying to be a supportive friend. And she's like, actually, would you mind loaning me $300 to get my car out of the tow yard? I'm getting money from my parents on Friday and I will pay you back, I promise. And I was really unsure because I'd never lent a friend more than, like, you know, money for dinner or whatever. And I just felt really bad. She'd been so down on her luck. So I was like, yeah, okay, I'll give you the money as long as you promise to get it back to me on Friday. And she said, yeah, no problem. And then she goes to the job interview. She said they went really well. And no joke, like 2 hours later, sends me a text of her nearly totaled car. She hit a car getting onto the freeway. And the caption was, well, I'm fucked. And I was like, oh, God. And I was like, is there anything I can do? And she's like, actually, would you mind loaning me another $100 to help pay for car repairs? And I said, I actually loaned you more than I was able to afford. But like, if you need me to pick you up or whatever, I can do that. And she's like, no, I'm okay. So I decided not to bother her about the money for a little while. And then she texted me saying she got a job. And I was really excited. And I said, look, I know your money is going to be tight for a little while, but if we could figure out some kind of a payment plan just so I can start budgeting, I don't want this to affect our friendship. And she said, no problem. How about I pay you $100 out of my next three paychecks? And I said, that's perfect. A few weeks go by, still haven't gotten any money. I actually ended up seeing her and we went out to dinner and the check comes and she's like, all right, let's just split this. And I was kind of annoyed because she owed me all that money. I was like, really, you can't spot me like a $10 sandwich. So then we actually had planned on taking a road trip up to our college for an alumni event and it ended up not working out. She needed to leave a day later. But the night before I was supposed to leave, she texted me a picture of a positive pregnancy test. And I know. Sorry. And I was like, no, it's okay. And I was like, is this for real? And she's like, well, it's not April 1st. I was like, okay, well, have you gone to the doctor yet? You know, thinking maybe it's a false positive. I don't know. Some of those tests aren't super accurate. And she's like, well, I've taken three tests and they've all been positive. I'm going to Planned Parenthood tomorrow. And she did not specify whether that was to like get things checked out, make sure everything is healthy, or to like get an abortion. And I was like, just let me know how it goes. And this was 6 weeks ago. I've not heard anything from her since. So I don't know if she is pregnant, if she ever was pregnant, if she like tried to trap a guy into marrying her on purpose. I don't know. And it's been 3 months and I haven't gotten any of my money back. So I guess my reason for writing to you guys and wanting your advice is, what should I do next?
Oh, I'm afraid you might have to cut your losses.
Yeah. That's it.
Boom.
That's it.
Boom. We're hanging up now. You know, we're hanging up now,
Adina. But you know what, Adina? a hard lesson for me to learn was learning which friends of mine were big liabilities. And as I, you know, like got older and became successful, which friends of mine continued to approach me with a lot of drama.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to let them go. And it came with a lot of guilt, you know, on my end. I don't feel great about having to cut off friendships. I'm not sure what the graceful way to do it is. If with a high drama friendship, there usually isn't a graceful way to do it. It usually like has to
involve drama.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this seems like a friendship that,
one way street.
Yeah.
One way street. That's what I call them. I had the same problem whenever I started to become successful. There was a weeding out process and I always had a friend who needed that money. And I was like, I'm not a fucking ATM.
Or there was something crazy happening.
No, always something crazy in their life.
Always something crazy.
The car accident. Oh my God, my house payment.
Or like, I'm getting abused. Yes. Or, I mean, not to say that
that's legit, but still, it was always something.
But it was like, I'm suing. I was telling my sweet driver, Jason, listen to me. But a dear friend of mine, all growing up, every time we would talk, it was always like every time we would talk, it'd be like, she would tell me that she's suing somebody or that, you know, she was an abusive. And I'm not like, not to say that I shouldn't, you know,
have like compassion for that.
Of course
you do.
But it was all, but, or that, you know, she was getting kicked out or that she couldn't make her rent or, but truly like when I talked to her every week, it was always something that was of high drama that I just didn't, I couldn't deal with anymore. I wasn't equipped. That was the thing, is that if she had issues in her life that were of that magnitude, I felt like I wasn't equipped to handle them. And
or help her handle them. Yeah.
Right.
You got to do
exactly.
that on your own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I think this may be one of those scenarios where you may miss her a lot, but I don't think she's going to miss her. You're never going to get your money back.
No. And I also, the rule of thumb about loaning money to friends is I only loan money to friends knowing they will not pay me back.
God,
like if I...
That's a good rule, actually.
Yeah. No, I don't expect it. I do not expect it. Like, so if you're not willing, if you can't afford the $300, you should not have lent it.
Right, because...
Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't.
It'll end up in a cycle of resentment. Yeah, and, no. And it, but it, even if you do gift them money, it still ends up being blurry.
Yeah.
Blurry lines.
Yeah.
And...
But the joy of being in a successful position for me is helping people in need. So for me, I'm always like super generous with stuff like that, like school and student loans and bills and things like that. Cause I'm like, I want to make sure that I take care of my family, which is my closest friends or my family, but I wouldn't do that for anybody. And I learned that lesson in life. Like I lent that money to those people and they were horrible, horrible people.
But Adina, how much, if you were to cut this person off, and I, by the way, I feel like I need to backtrack a little bit because what I was talking about, my friendship with my friend from the past. I did not mean to imply that I didn't listen to any of her stories about abuse or whatever, but so please forgive me for any implication on that. But because that is a different avenue. But Adina, will you miss this friendship? And you know what I mean? Do you cherish her company?
Honestly, like, I would be fine not being friends with her anymore. We weren't super close to begin with. And really my reason for giving her the money was like my feeling guilty for her and like
feeling bad. Yeah, you're like, oh my God.
The car accident,
the pregnancy, the toe. It's like you said, it's always like, geez, this woman has a string of bad luck. And you're like, no.
Yeah. And after that happens, 16 years, you're sort of like, how much, right, Eva?
How much bad luck can you have in your life? You're attracting this stuff to yourself.
Right. Can I ask you, though, this is a curiosity question. Why do you think she moved to LA besides potentially wanting to marry a rich dude?
Or become a citizen?
Was it like an actress model situation? Or, I mean, and I say that without...
judging.
Yeah, because that was me.
No, she just was really bored. She was living in a college town a year after she graduated, and she was like, I love LA. I want to move to LA.
Who doesn't want to be in LA?
I think what she said to me was that she thought she was going to have a job when she moved out here, but then went to go to that office and they were like, oh, just kidding. We don't have a job for you.
You know what I think? I doubt.
Dude, she's
I don't think she had
liar,
a job.
Man.
I don't think she ever had a job.
So, Adina, what do you think? Like, I think this person should be cut out of your life. But the question is, what is a good strategy to do that?
She will text her again.
Yeah,
so
of course.
You ghost her, right?
It's so easy now. It's so easy now to just be like, oh my God, I'm so busy. Didn't get your text. Oh, hey. It's not like you're going to run into her on the street. I know.
Right.
Look at that. Money. I don't know. I think this is an easy bye. And especially she's disappeared.
Right. But she'll resurface.
Right.
She'll resurface. Yeah. But Adina can be like,
Can we give Adina advice to say something like, I know this, like...
Yeah, how to closure, closure?
Yeah, to text saying, like, hey, I don't know, like...
I've been really busy. I'm sorry I can't hang out. And then just don't say anything after that.
You're saying something more closure, more concrete, like, hey...
Potentially.
Really? Why? Why does she need that?
I agree with you. Sim and I...
All right. Listen, I defer to you guys.
I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
I
think she ghosts
her. Haven't I made that clear? Yes.
And or just like, oh, hey, I didn't get your text.
Right, whatever.
Like,
make
whatever.
Up some lame excuse and then it'll just
she's
fizzle gonna
out. She's going to move on to the next culprit. You know what I mean? She's going to move on.
I agree with you guys. I think that is the best course, but I do think there is going to be a moment where there's going to be
a confrontation.
You know, yeah, well, there's going to be something dramatic, like
she's drama.
Yes,
I hear you.
So, how then do we give Adina the advice to deal with that part? Like when
I'm
that
really
happens,
sorry this
months,
is happening to you right now. I'm not in a position to help you. I'm really sorry. Best of luck.
Yeah,
that's Boom. Great.
That's
you
great.
Screwed me over. Fuck you. Don't say that. You know, internalize that. But yeah.
That tone, but not those words.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think those words, though. I mean, but
no.
But the first portion of
it. Yeah, the first portion, sure.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not in a place to help you out, but good luck with that.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
She'll get the message.
I don't know.
By the way, but I think this girl sounds like a user. She wants to marry a dude to stay. So
I
she's
know.
Gonna, if
no,
Adina
totally.
Is not
yeah.
gonna be used, she's gonna be like, all right, you're no use to me. I think she's gonna move on her own.
Yeah. But I'm sorry, Adina, that your money may be lost.
I know. That sucks.
It's like trying to get it back will be of more cost than what you loaned.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry about that.
No, I agree. I just needed like an outsider's opinion. So thank you guys so much.
Thanks, Adina. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm a huge fan of the podcast. So
thank you so much.
Thanks
I'm so flattered.
I love you, Adina.
Thanks, Adina.
Look at what.
Yeah. Thanks. Bye.
We have to take a picture.
Wait,
I feel like people.
What is that, Eva?
It's my Rain
what
Man.
What is going on?
I feel like I tell you the other day.
What? Oh, sorry.
Whoa, this is about you.
Oh, it's about me.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, can you explain what Eva did first?
Yeah, I think people would want to know the whole yeah. last call.
This is Eva Amy, by the way. Amy, introduce yourself.
Hi, guys. This is Amy.
Hi.
I just feel like people would want to know.
They
that
would want to know that
last call. Eva is furiously scribbling line row after row of dollar signs.
That's amazing. That's incredible.
That's what the topic of this
like
call
was. She has dribbled no fewer than what, $100 signs?
I think it's more than
probably more. Probably more.
Okay, so the other day you were telling me about how one of your most favorite jobs was working at a temp agency,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And you loved making pie chart. Like you loved, will you recount that story, please?
When I got the job, the boss was like, do you want to be commissioner salary? And I didn't know what either meant. And I was like, what does that mean?
You have to back it up. You came to LA, right?
Yeah.
I went to a temp agency
to get a temp job, and the CEO of the company saw me in the lobby and he interviewed me and he's like, why don't you work here at the temp agency? And I was like, oh, what do you do? And he's like, we have jobs and people and you matchmake them, like put them together. And I was like, oh, I can do that. That sounds easy. And then he's like, great. Do you want to be commission or base salary? And I was like, I don't know what that means. And he's like, well, base salary means you only make this much, but commission means you can make as much as you want. So I was like, I want to be commission, not knowing you don't get paid until you perform. So because my money was based on my performance, I would do my own charts of like tracking, okay, how much money I'm going to make this week because I did this much work, therefore I'll get this much money. So I would make all these charts and I'd give them to my boss just to double check like he was paying me right. And he's like, this is great. And he would call like a staff meeting. Everybody needs to do charts like these. And then everybody looked at me like, oh, Eva.
Eva, she's hot. She's like fucking our shit up.
Yeah, now we have to fucking do charts. And I'm like, no, I'm doing it because I want to get paid. I'm not doing it because. But anywho, I had that situation. My best friend Lucky's here. She knows. Remember that loaning situation with a friend? And it was a lot. It was always a drama thing after drama thing after drama thing. And I remember, like, what was it? I remember. Same thing like that whenever she went to dinner with this girl and she did. But anyway, it was like the friend that I loaned money to had a new purse, had a new car, had a new, and I was like, remember that money I lent you? maybe you should pay that back before you bought a new Mercedes. Yeah.
But okay. will you also tell us a little bit about why you love directing?
Because I love telling people what to do and I'm really good at it.
I know you are.
No, I'm actually, you know, when you find that you're good at something, and when I started directing, I'm like, oh my God, I'm really good at this. I'm comfortable at it. I'm good at it. I studied it. It makes sense to me. Like unlike some other things where like I could never sing because I'm like, I'm just not good at that. I'm not a good singer. Well, I don't ever have the desire to sing. But with directing, I just love the making of the sausage.
Well, because working with you on set, it's been so fucking awesome. But I love watching you work because I know that you know exactly what's going on. You're like, there's a light. You know all the camera. You know like everything that's happening, and it's
you need to direct. All women need to at least take a stab at directing because we are natural multitaskers. The main job of a director is a problem solving. You answer 29,000 questions a day. Do you want this? 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 Like that's all you do is problem solve all day long. Women are naturally good at that. We're naturally multitaskers. So I just feel like every woman should take a stab at it. You may not like it, but you may go like, damn it, I am good at this.
Oh, I would love it. Are you kidding? I mean, I won't. I don't know if I'd be good at it, but I would love telling people what to do.
Exactly. But no, directing is a whole different muscle that I love using. For me to come in and stand on a mark and say my lines is like, I want to shoot myself. Like, I just feel like I'm not reaching my full potential in this moment. You know? But that's why I'm never going to win an Oscar.
But fuck it. Who the fuck? fuck cares about that fucking thing? I'm serious though.
Like, but I have no desire to. Like, I just want to. Yeah. I want to create. Like, yeah. I want to create. And so some people who are like, you know, the method actors and get into all the like, I'm like, oh my God, I can't. I'll never be that person. I want to have fun doing what I love.
And at getting to act with you, it has been so much fun.
Acting with you has been fun. Anna, I keep saying we wish we had more stuff to do, but that's for the next movie. Yeah. We have to figure out the next one.
Yeah.
I want to like quit this podcast and have you take over my job. You guys are awesome together.
Well, she beat me at the game though. Let's do some Spanish lessons.
I would love to.
How do you say your co-star's name?
Eugenio Derbez.
Very good.
Was it good?
Eugenio, say Europe.
Oh, Europe.
No, in Spanish. It's the same as Eugenio.
Europe.
Europa.
They want to say it with the pout.
And Russian. Yeah. Is that what you
Well, that's my heritage, okay? Eva?
You want some vodka?
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Wait, I do have one last question.
Okay.
What has been the most favorite role you've played? I mean, besides directing, but acting. I know.
Oh, acting? I mean, I would be a fool not to say Gabrielle Solis on Desperate Housewives because I had so much fun playing her. I mean, I was Gabrielle Solis for a decade of my life. So for me, it was so much fun, and I miss her. There are like days that I'm like, I miss her skin.
Like
and
what? Do you miss? Like
I miss. She was so witty and mean. She would say and do things I wish I could say and do. Like she was just a really sharp witted character, and I was like, oh, I wish I was more like her in real life. I liked her. I played, but recently I just did this TV series for the BBC called Decline and Fall. So it was a period piece based on these novels. And so I got to play like
I know you were telling me about this. Was this the one in Wales?
In Wales. I shot it in Wales with Jack Whitehall. And it was so fun because never do I get offered period pieces because I'm like Latina. And it's only like, unless you're English.
No. I mean, I'm like the goof. Whatever.
Yeah. We're like contemporary people. Like it's like I never get offered the period piece. Nah. And so when this came along, this was like a South American woman who lived in England. And so I was like, I'm so excited. I get to do British accent. I'm so excited. And then they're like, yeah, no, you're American. I was like, no, I want to be a British accent. But I did get to do like a transatlantic accent. And so that was fun because this character, she was like a man-eater, rich, independent woman in a time when that was not acceptable. And she was unapologetic about it. And so it was just a great role and it was a great cast. And then I shot in Wales and it was for the BBC. So it was just a whole like fish out of water.
Did you wear corset?
No, it was like the 30s, 1930s. It was like flappery kind of. You know, like everything was loose. Everything.
Ooh, sexy.
But, yeah, no, not so much. No. Yeah, it was like, when did women think
dark
this boxy, dress was sexy? Like,
oh. It was like, you know, I'm wanting to like make love to you, right?
Mixed with love to me, Anna. Mixed with love to me. What's the favorite role you've done?
Oh. I love it that you just hit the mic.
No, it was a bug. There's a bug. There was a bug.
I thought you did that for like an effect.
I did too.
Mic drop, like a mic drop.
Yeah, like a mic
What's
drop,
your favorite
right.
role?
Fall.
Boom.
You know, I think I played this stoner girl in this movie, this indie called Smiley Face,
mm-hmm.
that felt like it's her journey, but it felt like this was a role written for a man.
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't believe that I got to play it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember every day, because I had no love interest. My only love interest was weed. And I just,
best co-star you've ever had.
I remember like asking the writer continuously, like, why? I can't believe that you wrote this for a woman, because this feels like this is something that, you know, Jonah Hill, Seth Rogen, like all mm-hmm. our stereotypes, like whatever, like a dude would play.
Mm.
And instead, it was a role that was given to me, and I
I'm like, it just eternally grateful for that experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it was, I didn't have to, do you know what I mean? Like not having to focus on a man.
Yeah, I know. And it's so rare.
In a character is, it was eye-opening for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I wish, you know, I know some actresses who have that rule. Like, I want to, you know, my character to stand on its own without the man in the movie. And that's not common. So you're like, if that's your rule of thumb, you're going to be sitting around a while because it's very hard. Not right. that it shouldn't be that way, but like every...
And it makes sense
the girlfriend of, the wife of, the sister of, that like, why do we have to revolve around, the man?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was one of those things where, you know, I would wake up at, 4:30 and feel so excited to get to chomp into like the dialogue of the day.
Oh,
and that was really
you're
was
doing really pretty well. Amazing in this movie though. Thanks. I hope everybody's gonna love it because it's so funny and you in this role is
I'm so
thank
excited
you
so have you seen anything
not yet no
oh there's she's so good and like the kids and like
the kids are great and you're amazing we have no, like, but, like a this wonderful world
like this is to touch something as classic as Overboard.
Oh, yeah. Man. It has seriously been terrifying to me.
And then to do that. Anna's knocking it out of the park. Oh. So I love how everybody thinks you're playing Anna Faris. I mean, Goldie Hawn. And
I know.
You have to correct them and say you're playing Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
By the way, my friend sent me it. They were like, what do you play? And I said, oh, I play Anna Faris's best friend. I go, who was basically, I guess, like Kurt Russell's best friend in the movie. So my friend sent this. He goes, so that's who you're playing?
Yeah, Billy Bob Pratt.
That's amazing.
This is my role.
That's your role. Oh,
this is my role.
And Pratt is, my husband's
Can you
last
describe?
Name.
Oh, yes, yep, that's
so
right.
You're
describe this is, the picture.
You're my this, husband,
this
Billy
this
Bob
This picture
Pratt.
Is of Kurt Russell's best friend in Overboard, and he's holding a beer, and he's wearing a really dirty shirt. He's about 200 pounds, I would say. About 200 pounds
Sweet
and wearing a trucker
Billy
hat.
Billy Bob Pratt.
And he has a beard. He's a 5 o'clock shadow and a mustache. That's me, guys. I will be having a
and
mustache
his
in
wife,
the movie.
His name is Gertie, I think.
But
and she's the one who's, he has to be like, I cheated on Gertie. Like, with what you...
Oh, yeah. Yes. I cheated on Gertie.
In the movie, dear listeners, Eva is helping me... I don't know.
Don't give it away. Don't spoil it.
All right.
It's not a spoiler alert. It's the premise of the movie.
Okay.
The spoiler alert is the role reversal. Like, that's what I think is so... I actually think it works better this way. Who wouldn't want a man's house?
Yeah, well, and in the original, it does feel a little bit like...
Yeah.
It feels a little
dodgy.
Yeah.
A little dodgy, the original of it could be a sex slave.
Yep, for sure.
It feels better this way. I love you, Anna Faris.
I love you too, Eva. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
Good night, dear listeners.
Seeing you after 10 years. Oh my God.
10 years. Don't I look younger?
You look exactly the same. You do.
You look
seriously.
Good.
You're fucking amazing in every way.
Aw, thanks, guys.
Thank you. Good night. Good morning.